you know, I think it's interesting how Chris and I first met and how we're collaborating now so many years later. I had the opportunity to go to Boston and record with his radio show when I was 14. And it was my one of my first opportunities to be able to play in public and to play on the radio. And I just remember how starstruck I was to work with him. And I was really struck by the quality of musicianship that he brought and just how nice and down-to-earth he was. And we had kept in touch kind of just over social media vaguely, you know, and I followed his career. And then after Take Three got started and we were looking to find the pianist that could cover all the shows that were coming in, the shows were coming in faster than we could find people to play for, as they had other engagements and things like that.
Sure.
And so I just wrote to Chris out of the blue, and I said, you know everybody in town. Who should I be approaching about a project like this? And he said, well, you know, actually, I've been wanting to branch out of the classical realm, and I've been following the group, and if you want, I would love to play with you guys. And it was such a surprise, and that he would be interested in this style of music. And this has been such an amazing experience to get his knowledge and his expertise in this realm. So we're very looking forward to this tour with him.
And yeah, it's really exciting and interesting that it kind of sounds like it's coming a little bit full circle for you, since you started with him on From the Top, and now here you are, and he's going to come play with you. That's a really cool way to kind of come full circle.
Oh, for sure. And I think also how we both, all those years ago, you know, that was 20 years ago, we were both strictly in the classical music genre. And I had dreams from the time I was a small child to be a classical soloist, which is the career that Christopher was able to achieve, which is unbelievably hard, and only a very few make it in that world. And at this point, my career has taken such a dramatic turn, and very recently as well, into the crossover and pop realm. I really didn't start playing that genre until I met Yanni and began touring with him. And when he asked me if I was available, or at least his management called me, I thought they had the wrong person. I mean, I thought, you know, did they see the videos I have online? I'm playing Bach and Brahms. You know, what can I possibly add to this band? And they said, no, it's you that he wants, and he saw your stuff, and he sees that you would actually be great for this. And so at that moment, I didn't see it myself. But as I got into it, and I had a lot of interesting conversations with Yanni, and he worked with me every day on my first tour. We worked a lot together. I realized that he saw something in me that was clearly there that I hadn't seen, and that I'm not sure my teachers had seen. But it was definitely there, and from that experience, I realized that this crossover pop genre is actually right where my talents lie. And I'm so thrilled that he brought that out of me. And of course, I have thousands, tens of thousands of hours practicing scales and arpeggios and really difficult classical music to be able to bring really great skill and chops. So it's an exciting time for me.
Had you always been a fan of maybe both of those kind of ends of music, or did you kind of start off your career focusing more on classical? Like, were you listening to like Green Day or any other bands while you were also practicing classical pieces?
It's so funny you ask that, because I would practice classical violin 4 to 5 hours a day from the time I was a small child, and people always ask me, you know, what classical pieces are you listening to? Just what you're playing, or are you listening to other symphonies and piano concerti and other things? And the truth of the matter is, I didn't want anything to do with classical music outside of those 4 to 5 hours. I certainly enjoyed hearing live violin concerti performed, and even if I knew that a friend was going to be performing on the radio or something, I would tune in. But in my free time, I wasn't at all interested in hearing more of that genre, even though I love to play it. So I was listening to pop music. I was listening to top 40s, and I had my favorite bands. And even though it's such simple music compared to classical music, I mean, we're talking like four chords per song, I really loved the simplicity. And I would get those earworms like crazy. I would hear a song and then get to my destination, and I'd be humming and whistling the song for the rest of the day. And it was interesting that I never actually did that with classical music. I would never find a song I loved and just play it on repeat. But with pop music, I find I do that quite often. I mean, I'll have a 20-minute drive and put one 3-minute song on repeat. And so I think it was clear that I did have an affinity for that genre. I just never saw myself playing it in public. And here I am.
Right. And now that you're in that realm of classical and pop, do you find that's maybe either more rewarding or maybe a different kind of excitement that you get performing that for an audience? And do you see a difference in how the audience reacts to that?
You know, it's really interesting. When you grow up classically, the focus is on the composer. And the composer is long gone, right? They wrote mm-hmm. this music 100, 200 years ago. So we really take the artist many times out of the equation. And I found that with pop and crossover music, I could put more of myself, I could infuse my own personality into that music, and nobody gave me a problem. And I also found that the audience response is very visceral, and it's very immediate, and they're not afraid to scream and clap and applaud during the song. And mm-hmm. I feed off of that energy in a huge way, and it affects the performance in a really positive way, and it's so rewarding. And with classical, you know, we don't want them making sounds. They're very stiff. We ask that of them. We expect that they're going to be silent. And as a performer for myself, I didn't feel like it was as rewarding of an experience. I craved that immediacy, and I never felt that until I performed with Yanni for the first time, and then I was hooked. It was all over after that, and I craved that.
That's a wonderful way to experience that blooming of your own personality on stage and with your performance, and you'll be able to see that when Take 3, the classical pop crossover group, will take the stage on the Crystal Theater April 7th at 2 p.m. Central Time. I'm speaking with Lindsay Deutsch. She is the violinist who, as she's mentioned, has been playing with many different people over the years, such as Yanni and also with Christopher O'Reilly. And they will be all coming together, along with Lila Yang, to perform at the Crystal Theater and also the LSSU Sisler Center on April 9th. Lindsay, is there anything else that you'd like to add about this performance or about performances in general?
No, I think people are going to love it. You know, we not only perform music, but we have a good time on stage together. We laugh, and I'm brushing up on my comedy skills for this, so it's going to be a great time.
Excellent. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having us.